The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Hey everybody, welcome to What's the Buzz, our Man versus Bee podcast. I'm your Queen Bee, Travis McElroy. With me as always are my worker drones, Justin and Griffin McElroy.
The fucking bone drone.
The bone drones.
Mr. Drone.
And Miss, we got Professor Honey over there.
Oh yeah, we got my sweet boys, my honey boys. Let me just say, guys, oh God, finally, an old, white, straight dude comedian has had the courage to say that they liked comedy better when they could say whatever the fuck they wanted.
Oh, finally. Thank you, Bean. You've done it again, Bean.
Listen, I don't throw this word around a lot. Anyone who knows me knows that. But I'm just going to say it. Hero.
Oh, right? Wow.
Right? To say, wow. I missed the time when I could fucking say anything and I didn't have to think about other people or like what my audience thought. And so I'm so glad finally we have someone standing up for transgressive comedy.
Yeah.
That challenges our ideas. So I can't wait to see what kind of challenging the status quo man versus
bee
does.
Man versus fucking man. Versus fucking bee press junkie is where Bean feels like he needs to take his stand and say,
okay.
Listen,
this one's gonna get me in hot water.
It's man, I wanna be the bee friend.
I'm gonna be the marketing rep for Netflix.
Okay.
And Griff, you're Rowan.
Okay. Yeah, I would love this.
Buzz. Rowan, are you in?
You've go for Bean.
So, classic. And that is exactly the kind of magic we're hoping you can capture today in your interviews about our project, Man versus Bee.
Yeah, for sure.
So I brought in, just so we can like kind of make sure we're on the same page, I've brought in, David Sims from The Atlantic.
Oh, we're good. Bros.
Travis, you're David.
Oh, hi, it's me, David Sims.
So David has been kind enough to sort of do a sort of mock interview, if we could try that.
Oh, yeah, you don't think I'm ready for the real deal.
I know you are, Rowan. I just really want to keep it laser focused.
Yeah, so I'm going to start off with a real softball here, Rowan.
Uh-huh.
What is it that you think makes Man versus Bee such a great comedy?
Well, I was talking to my good friend Ricky Gervais the other day.
Okay.
And I was talking to him about comedy.
Yeah, okay. So what makes Man versus Bee going, such
wait,
a great
I
comedy?
I just say this is going, I was about to say so good, but like Ricky's actually been in a little bit of a, I mean, we love him over here at Netflix.
Can't get enough of him.
Yeah, so I think actually it's all going fine so far.
Yeah,
right
no ahead. Notes.
Jesus Christ. Okay, good.
Well,
I've
prepared a statement.
Oh, okay. That doesn't normally happen in interviews, but yeah, go ahead, Rowan.
It does seem to me that the job of comedy is to offend or have the potential to offend, and it can. I'm becoming Austrian.
Well, you're very transformative as an actor, Rowan. I've always said that about you. So what did you say about the job of comedy?
It's to make people angry. And you say you can't punch down, but what if that's the closest thing to you?
Well, hold on. Rowan?
It's the so job much of, easier to punch down.
The job of comedy is to make people angry?
Because of gravity.
But that seems... Rowan, isn't the job of comedy to make people happy and laugh?
Well, I was talking to my good friend, best friend, and he was a groomsman at my wedding, Richard Gervais.
Uh-huh.
And we were having a lot of laughs. We were watching his special. I was busting the fuck up at all of it. And it got me thinking, I should be able to tell a joke about anything I want with no repercussions whatsoever, Mr. Bean.
Well, that seems like a big ask, Rowan. And I do also feel like, sorry, we're drifting away from the focus.
The bee is, it represents woke culture.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
This is a scoop. So you're telling me that what the movie actually is man versus woke culture?
Kind of. But it also, okay. But it's also like, getting older. Like, it's okay. Me versus getting older. And I wish, and I could squish it and hit getting older with a big flamethrower and say
if
whatever
I could, David,
I want
I'm so sorry. To sort of
no, no, please. I we've very much, I think, lost focus.
I think what Sir Rowan is saying here is
he got the knighthood.
When you're fighting a bee, you can't really punch up or down because it's flying around so much. That you're just punching every which way in that and starting
fires.
That's
not it at all.
And knocking over vases, I think, is another great scene.
Oh, so it's like a literal, like, okay, it's a literal punching. Right, Rowan?
We've saved it. It's fine.
I'm just saying that it seems to me the job of comedy is to offend or have potential to offend, and it cannot be drained of that potential. Every joke has a victim. That's the definition of every... And let me make sure you get this quote, which is the most bonkers shit I've ever said, or anyone really get it word for word. Okay. Every joke has a victim. That's the definition of a joke.
No, whoa! Whoa, Rowan. Every joke has a victim?
That's
and the rest of the quote that I'm not going to say off the record is that jokes are like stabbings like that.
Whoa, Rowan.
Okay, Rowan, if I could just, I don't want
to
feed
I'm
Davis.
Ready to talk about my B film.
No. Now we're going to talk about how you think the job of comedy
is
to
hurt.
Offend people. Not to entertain, not to like make people feel better.
So
look at my body.
Uh-huh.
It's very small.
Okay.
With comedy.
Uh-huh.
I make her like a big weapon.
But sorry, Sir Rowan, if
and
I
by
may.
Me, I don't not at this particular 10 episode long series, man versus
how is it 10? Sir Rowan, if I may, even if you believe this bonkers thing about every joke has a victim, let's just take that beautiful metaphor. So, okay, you don't like the punching up, punching down thing. That's fine. Why do you want to victimize? Okay, in your logic, you want to you think it's cool and fun to victimize marginalized people. That is what you think
God
the purpose of man versus bee is.
God made me a comedian. God made me a weapon.
Uh-huh.
Look at my little body.
Yeah. Wait, it's hard not to look at it now that you've removed the robe.
You've contorted it into that big bug eye face that you do sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway.
When Mitch Hedberg said, like, when you're standing in front of a fire exit during a fire, right, and he makes that whole joke about someone telling him to move because that's a fire exit, who's the victim in that joke?
Well, it reminds me of a story my best friend Bill Maher told me when I was having dinner with him and Louis C.K.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Is that, can we get back to the bee thing? Because I fall down a lot in this movie, and it hurts every time. And I want a little bit of credit for that.
When you used a credit card to spread butter on toast, who was the victim there, Rowan? Just out of curiosity, who were you really sticking it to there?
That wasn't a joke. That was a story.
That really happened.
That was a story. Did you just do an impression of me to me?
I did.
That's wild,
actually. Do it again.
David, that I'm sorry, David. Hugely
unprofessional. I've actually been Rowan this whole time. He's
Holy
David.
Crap.
You do it better than I do it.
I'm transformative.
And scene.
The art must be separated from the artist in this case. Because it's...
Nah, Griffin, I don't think it needs to be. We're all rooting for the fucking bee.
Oh, I see.
I hope that the last shot is we find out early on that his character, Trevor, so challenging, Trevor is allergic to bees. And I hope the last shot of episode 10, at minute 100 collectively, he gets stabbed in the fucking eyeball. And we see him... And, like, every flash of memory comes back, and as he's dying, he's like, I was really a piece of shit. And then he dies. That's what I'm rooting for.
I think that's probably unlikely. I think it's unlikely to happen. The quotes...
You're assuming it's a comedy.
The quotes that Mr. Bean says in his article are truly, truly, truly outrageous. First of all, he says, you've always got to kick up, really?
What?
No,
that's not
I don't good. Think anyone says.
Yeah, you got to kick a little to cause a stir. Yeah.
What if there's someone extremely smug, arrogant, aggressive, self-satisfied who happens to be below in society? They're not all in houses of parliament.
Yeah, like trans people. Come
Those,
on, Rowan.
Yeah. All arrogant. They're not all in houses of parliament or in monarchies. Thanks,
Rowan.
Bean. Anyway, this is
not hard.
It's not.
It's not hard.
Easy.
Then the other people, God, it's like fucking... Then the other people in that community, that arrogant person at the top in that community is up from them. You don't just have fucking carte blanche, Rowan. They're not above you.
Listen, I don't have anything to say here, but I just want to say this is about the most half-assed sort of condemnation of cancel culture that I have ever read. You can hear the trepidation in his quotes of like, it does seem to me that, anyway.
It's like he got a call from like other old white dude comedians and they're like, hey, Rowan, buddy, we've noticed you're getting a lot of press for Man vs. Bee and you are of a certain age. And
Mike's,
your skin is white.
The mic is in your hand, Bean.
Gonna need you to make a comment about cancel culture, as is a requirement, it appears, for everyone who is a straight, white, cis dude of a certain age.
You got a credit. I will say that. Credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Credit where credit's due. You have to be... so deep in the paint on this belief system to have like had a newspaper in the last 5 years and just been like, I bet I could nail this Kobayashi Maru. Everybody stand back.
Put
I got
me in,
this.
Put me in, coach.
You're just not saying it right. Give me one more chance.
I'm languishing.
Christ.
Thanks,
so,
Rowan.
Yeah.
It's given us, I would say, a lot to think about, Bean.
Is it that hard to say, about, yeah, you're right, I fucked up. Shouldn't have made that joke. I'll do better.
I don't even think he said it. I think he's saying other people say. He's looking around. He sees the way the wind's blowing. He wonders, when is spreading butter on toast with a fucking credit card going to be problematic?
Oh.
And we don't know. And he doesn't know. He doesn't know. That's the sword of Damocles swinging over his head. So let's begin the show.
Yeah, it's an advice show, as you know.
Here's some advice. Shut your fucking mouth.
I know. Travis, please. Everyone's opinion is incredible. Travis, now, yeah. Which way? Think about the small body. Which way are you punching? Because you're a bigger guy.
You're a bigger guy than Rowan.
Oh, you're saying physically. Oh, yes. Okay, physically.
That's what it's meant the whole time.
Oh.
That's why everybody's always fucking ripping on Tom Hanks.
Yes.
Because he's so tall and so broad.
It's why we have to make our comedy so weak because of our huge fucking bodies.
Yeah, and our big ripped muscles. We should stop working out so we can make fun of more people.
That's why Tom Hanks is nice to everybody. It's because he's so worried he'll notice
whip
that
their he's fucking tall. Ass apart. Yeah.
And 1v1 me, Tom. One day, Tom is going to get mad, right? And he's going to rip off his suit that he always wears. And underneath, it's just going to be huge, glistening
big fucking
muscles. And everyone's going to be like, we had no idea. And he's like, why'd you think I was so nice? Not now. And then he's just going to punch through everyone's faces.
You look at his eyes, they're the deadest eyes you've ever seen.
The deadest eyes, because all the life has drained down to his huge fists.
Okay, this is an advice show. Oh, real quick, thanks to everybody who came out to our shows in Boston and Mashantucket, Connecticut. You all were really, it was a really fun time.
Especially to like the Platinum Rewards members or whatever at Foxwoods Casino.
Who just wandered in
because they got free tickets if you're in their VIP program. So they're like, oh, show's coming. And they came in. And a special shout out to the lady who then went to buy a poster and said to the merch person, like, I hated the show, but I will buy a poster. And when asked why, the response was, I like that one's purple hair.
That's good.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, thanks. That money still folds, you know, whatever. Yeah, thanks to y'all that can't. Like, they took a flyer on it. It's not for everybody, but they were like, you know what? I got a few minutes till the buffet opens. I'm just going to duck in on the McElroys real quick, see what these cats are up to. Anyway. Thanks for coming. That's got to be a wild one to walk into, but good on you. And thanks to everybody. You all look great. And if you want to see us, we're doing some more shows in July and November and maybe some others. Keep it locked. Okay. Something I've begun doing is painting on my front porch. I'm not very good, but I enjoy it just for sitting in the sun, letting my mind wander. However, one of my neighbors has seen me doing this several times and every time tells me I should put my art in the local museum. The thing is, she has never actually seen my work and she doesn't seem to be joking. In fact, she's begun asking me if I've sent my work to the gallery yet, and when I say no, she seems annoyed. How do I reclaim the contentment of painting on my porch? That's from Porch Picasso in Hamilton, Ontario.
Art is, if we've learned anything today, subjective.
Yeah.
And so I bet, right, the right agent, the right, dealer could sell your painting without anyone ever seeing it. You know what I mean?
And it's about confidence. I can tell you exactly how. And this is why I think I would be a great art agent.
Okay.
You hand me your painting. Maybe it looks good. Maybe it looks like a dog shit. But I take
it. Like a literal? Like a painting of dog shit?
I take it to a rich guy and I say, check this art out. And they say, oh, that's interesting. I say, yes, $50,000. And they say, whoa. Why? And I say, well, an elephant did paint it with his trunk.
Oh. Well, I'd love to meet the artist.
You can't. He's too big. He's so big. It's hard to get in places.
I'll go to him.
He's very territorial. His tusks are so sharp. But look at this. And it's like, it transcends the elephant experience, experience.
It's really great. I'm just kind of into penguin art right now.
Oh, well, let me see if I have any penguin art. Oh, here's one right here. That looks the same. It looks similar, I know. But a penguin did this one. He's friends with the elephant.
No way.
Yeah, he did plagiarize.
I'll tell you what I'd love is if you could get a collab going between the two of them.
Oh, hold on. Here's that. Here's that exact thing. Yeah.
I'll take it. How much did you say?
Well, this one's $100,000 because it was the collab between the penguin and the elephant. And so I have to pay them independently.
Can I trade you this painting that was done by a tiger?
What if the painting is of the neighbor?
Oh, wow.
Wait.
And they're like, did you send it in yet? And you're like, I have not even begun to capture a tenth of a millionth of the light in my subject's eyes. Oh. And then you spin it around and it's them.
Yeah.
And they're holding hands with the Joker. And the Joker's in it and they're in it.
Hell yeah, dude. I love this.
Which Joker?
What?
Which Joker?
Come on. The funniest Joker.
The only Joker, I would say, by the way, that's ever been funny, the Joaquin Phoenix Joker.
Oh, you don't think...
He's the only funny Joker?
You don't think
the
Joker Jared that's
out of time and out of universe?
Jared Leto's very good.
He's a funny,
yeah,
funny,
so
funny
transgressive.
Man. Hey, is there anything funnier than the fact that everybody was clowning so hard at Morbius that Sony was like, they love it, let's put Morbius back in theaters? And they had Leto up there on TikTok like, it's Morbin time, go see Morbius in theaters, baby. It's so funny, right? And then nobody went and saw Morbius in theaters the second
Griffin,
time.
Well, what happened, as I understand it,
it's peak
is that
Morbius.
Morbin time was a viral joke. And Jared Leto saw it and was like, and announced, we're making Morbius 2. And then Sony had to be like, there are no plans to make Morbius 2.
That's so Morbius.
That's so Morbius.
Did we do a Morbius watch?
Morbius.
I think we did do a Morbius. We were ahead of the curve on that one. Okay, good. You need to show them the art. And you will be able to micro-expression judge whether or not they still believe it belongs in a museum or not. And it's going to be tough because they're going to say like, oh, yeah, that is perfection. That is poignant. But they're going to make a face when they first see it. Like, oh, damn. Oh, damn. That can't go in a museum. Oh, damn. And you will know from that, I think.
The next time they ask if it's in a gallery, just say yes. Just say yes. They'll be happy.
The next time you see... The next time you look in their window and see them cooking in the kitchen, start pounding on their door, and they run to answer it, be like, did you send that pie to the pie contest? Just so, like, they know what it's like when every single thing you do has to be adjudicated on the very highest level possible. In this case, a pie contest.
Or did you submit your painting to a pie contest?
What? Why aren't there painting-eating contests?
Thank you.
I would love to watch. I love watching YouTube art restoration videos, but they would be triple improved after sort of dehydrating the work and repairing the framework for the canvas and retacking it and to, you know, doing a, you know, very conservative touch ups here and there. And then they got out a big yummy plate and a knife and fork and they tucked in a bib and just went to town on it and got pretty sick, I'm guessing.
Or what if it was like, what's it called? You guys are both video game nerds. When it's like an unbalanced, like PvP, what's that called? When it's like 1v4 or something?
Asymmetrical.
Asymmetrical, okay. Where one person is trying to restore the painting while someone else is trying to eat it.
I see.
And it's like a race to see how much of it can get eaten before finished restoring it and how quickly, how well you can restore it it's getting eaten.
That sounds good to me.
I would watch the fuck out of that. And also, the floor is lava.
Can we approach the wizard?
Yes.
Yeah, let's go.
Supplicate yourselves, haters, as we learn all about this one. A lot of people sent this in. Thank you. It's how to be a bro.
I've done that. I have siblings.
This is different.
Oh.
They mean it in like the...
Okay.
You know, Barney Simpson.
Oh, okay.
Is that him?
Not like the dinosaur. Yeah, Barney, yeah. Barney Sampson?
Brom Sampson from How I Did Meet Your Mom. And so we are going to start here with method one, being a good bro. Live by a bro code. Every bro's got to have a code. It's the thing that unites and binds and solidifies the concept of the bro, separating bro from the common beasts and squirrels of the world. Whoa. Your bro code is up to you and your bros, as well as the punishments for transgressing. But a few rules are generally universal when it comes to bros. Never mess with your bro's date, sister, or mother. Always have a bro's back. Always take wingman responsibilities seriously. Bros won't make other bros look bad in front of girls. Bros don't let bros drive drunk. That last one, I don't think is typically in there.
But it's the best one.
It's awesome, right?
It's a good...
There should be more like that. Like, bros help bros make smart fiscal investments.
Yeah.
Right?
Bros let other bros know when they should be moisturizing.
Bros don't let other bros lease because you're honestly just throwing your money.
Yeah. Right into bros help other bros remember to start preparing their taxes in like February. Don't wait to the last minute.
Find your neighbors and build up a bromunity. Bros,
fuck! I need to pay my taxes.
Bros, yeah. Got. Oh, Travis, fuck. We were dereliction of bro duties on that. We gotta watch out for our bros.
Gotta remember
his fiduciary health. God dang!
I love fiduciary.
More like.
Yeah. I love nothing more than the concept of like going door to door in your neighborhood and be like, "Hey, how's it going? I'm looking to put together a close knit group of bros. Is that something you or anyone in this house would be interested in?"
It's Grecian, if that helps. It's like Grease Bros.
Yeah.
Like from Grease times.
Like not like Roman. We're not Bromans, okay?
We're not Bromans. We're just broing out with other in a Grecian fashion.
Nothing
right now,
weird here.
It's just right now it's just me and Zach, and we hang out in a little chamber we call the Barfatorium. So surround yourself with other brosifs, bras, and brosiers.
Brosiers. Yeah, I'll wear it. It's just to give me a little shape up there. It's a brosier.
Learn.
I love it.
Hey,
learn.
Bros don't body shame other bros, bro.
Yeah, bro.
That's true.
It's a brosier.
I love it, man. You look good, and I love your confidence.
I love how it makes you feel. Learn the proper bro shake. When two bros meet, they don't shake hands like a couple of preachers, and they certainly don't hug.
What?
Bros don't hug guys or give each other preacher shakes. They bro shake.
They just gently touch dicks.
It's a combination hug.
They just give a feather soft kiss on the lips.
Just butterfly kiss.
Butterfly kisses.
When my bro gets here.
Gonna drink 100,000 cases of beer. They
gonna talk about our feelings, but we will never hug.
Then he tries to drive home, but I won't let him because he's drunk. They bro shake. It's like a combination hug, high five, and arm wrestling match. In other words, perfect for bros. They love all that.
And then
stuff.
You share a bro to
visualize that. Is that the thing where they're like, bro, and then their two hands like clasp in arm wrestling fashion,
and
they're
just
like pulling it back
and
forth, like
big
yes.
bodies together.
Yeah, and touch dicks.
I just don't understand why can't bros hug? It's so weird. They hug in band of brothers.
Well, you can hug, Justin. Sorry, you can hug. You got to do handshake into hug, pat pat break.
Handshake
right?
into hug, pat pat break. That's for bros. Yep.
There's a Christian. You got the Christian side hug.
And you can do a Christian side hug, but no hugs before bro marriage.
It actually says, the next step says, abandon your faith in Christ, only have faith in your bros.
But do keep your grades up.
Keep your grades up, it says.
Bros help other bros cram for tests.
I'm going to skip around here. Say what you mean. The world is full of too many complicated things. Conversing with your bros shouldn't be one of them.
You should have open bromunication.
If you're pissed that your bro borrowed your car and didn't fill it up, say, dude, next time fill it up.
Word. If you're upset that your bro borrowed your copy of Iron Giant and didn't rewind it before giving it back, because you still believe in VHS. That's another thing about bros. Fucking love VHS.
Hate DVDs. Yeah, they hate
DVDs. Hate DVDs. They hate digital media. They like to have a collection, a bro-lection, if you will, that they can show other bros. That's very important.
Always be rallying. Just like Joe Montana in the Super Bowl. Andretti at the Indy 500. Michael Jordan in the playoffs. I know that one. Good bros can't stop and won't stop. Whether you're partying, working out, or plugging through another round of Madden on Xbox, because bros are not Sony phonies.
That's a shame because brony is, well, that's a different thing, isn't it?
It's a different thing.
Now, Griffin, it's possible that I'm now starting to suspect, reading between the lines here, that this article is written by someone a lot like us. Because all of their sports memories and references are at least 20 years old.
There's no way that the person who wrote this is an actual bro. There's
no way at all. When you reference Joe Montana in the Super Bowl?
Yeah. It gets so much better. Find bro inspirations. The image for this one is pretty good. It's just two boys looking at a big blow up of a cover of Men's Journal featuring Ryan Lochte and Michael Phelps. This is awesome for me. Every bro should have some famous bros to look up to, swipe lingo from, and in general, idolize as the pinnacles of brodom. Some classics of bros include Ryan Lochte and Michael Phelps.
Guys, one time I got kicked in the brodom. It hurts so bad.
Tim Tebow, Johnny Manziel, Derek Jeter, and Chad Johnson. On New Line, Will Smith, Channing Tatum, Matthew McConaughey. Do they hang?
I don't.
Gotta. gotta hang.
Now, I could see McConaughey and Tatum because they were in the dancing movies together. I could see that one.
They're making the Danzig movie together.
They're making the Danzig movie.
They're making the Danzig movie together, of course. And I believe Tatum is running as McConaughey's vice governor.
Yeah.
Assistant governor, if I remember correctly. Brovener, excuse me.
The next one is the Bros from Epic Mealtime. And then finally, just to wrap it all up, and I would love to be a fly in this fucking wall of the room that these boys are in. Dane Cook, Jim Belushi, and Joe Rogan. What's that
hang out?
What is it? I'm going to open the door. What's that smell? what is the smell in this room, Dame Jim and Joe? What have you all been doing in here, Dame Jim and Joe?
Who are your guys, like, bro idols? Who do you look up to when you're, like, you're hanging out with your bros and you're like, this is who I want to be like?
Oh, man. Fucking Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Fucking Jimmy Carter.
Those two bros, they love hanging out.
Love to hang out. Fucking David Copperfield. Fucking Homer Simpson.
Yeah. Bromer Simpson.
Fucking Jesus Christ.
And Bronan O'Brien.
So that's that part. And try to make try to make every day epic. Bro's just like a regular dude, except more exciting. You got to be in constant search of that next epic moment, tweaking every situation to make it just a little more perfect.
Now, I will say, I have been in many a bar and location where bros have come in, and there is, I don't know that the word I would use is excitement, but there is a definite, oh no, kind of feeling. Yeah. There is a what's about to happen now kind of feeling. Is that excitement? Is that... Or is it fight or flight?
Well, let me give you some great examples here, Travis. And these are just normal things I would suggest everybody does. Don't go out to dinner with your bros, but make epic eating occasions. Seek out 72-ounce steak eating challenges or spicy food eating challenges to make it competitive. Never let the loser live it down, bro.
Wait, did you start off with don't go out to eat with your bros?
Don't go out to dinner with your bros, but make epic eating occasions. Don't.
No, wait.
No.
What?
Let me go. Don't go to class. Don't keep, this is unprecedented. Don't keep your grades up. Don't go to class. Seek out epic new ways of integrating information.
Griffin, you're misreading it.
This is what it says. Research.
Oh, Griffin, you've been handed a knockoff WikiHow article. This cannot be.
This is from StickyHow. Get out of here.
Hey, Griffin, I just want to jump back real quick. When they say don't go out to dinner with your bros, but do like plan like 72, is it like, there's a 72-ounce steak eating challenge. I would love to do that with you sometime, but we can't make plans to do it.
No,
but if we both end up there,
it's just a spontaneous thing. Don't go to class. Seek out epic new ways of integrating information. Research optimum workout routines to maximize your learning retention and record lectures on your iPod while you multitask in the lecture hall. What?
Work out in the lecture hall?
Make your presence in class epic by answering questions, arguing with the prof, and making your presence known.
Hey, prof.
Now, this seems like this is now headed towards how to be a totally ripped figure in a God's Not Dead movie.
Yes. But
if God's Not Dead, how do you explain these gains?
Yeah.
I've been worshiping at the Iron Temple and at the Southern Baptist Church down the street.
Do we have the fortitude as an organization to release a t-shirt which reads, if God's not dead, how do you explain these games?
I'm also realizing that the knot in there makes that wildly confusing.
God's not dead. How do you explain these games?
Now it makes it seem like these games are a crime against God. So if God's not dead, if God was dead, the only way I could have these games is if
a living God is dead. How would a living God acquiesce to a challenge of his power?
He would have put a stop to this.
Have you seen these fucking gates? My eyes on the throne in heaven.
God is dead. I killed him.
God, I punched up way, way up.
I got him, guys.
I punched up so hard, I got him. Got him. Now, you know what? Whenever I say that and we don't actually make the shirt, someone else makes the shirt.
We'll have to make it now.
I don't think we can make that shirt, myself.
It's probably best if we let that one go.
I'm going to just tell McKay to start working on it right now.
Don't, McKay, please don't.
McKay, don't do
There's
it,
a lot of fashion ones of how you can be like an athletic gear bro or a gentleman bro. My favorite is the motocross
bro. A gentleman bro always leaves his calling card at the scene of a crime.
Try out the motocross bro, gearhead, metal listening, SoCal bros have their own style and vibe altogether. You can see these sorts of bros at the Vans Warped Tour or at the skate park. Typically, they'll be decked out in the following attire: long Dickies, shorts, skate shoes like Vans or Airwalk, flat brim hats, black socks pulled all the way up.
These Tell me more about their long Dickies, Griffin.
It sounds like ska bro more than anything, which is I not included that. Here. And then the last part is like, we want you to, this is the keep your grades up of it, and it's called avoiding stereotypes. It includes tips such as drink responsibly, treat women respectfully, eat a well-balanced diet, and drive responsibly.
I mean, yeah, all good.
Sure, fine.
But that just seems like human responsibility.
They didn't start the article with this section for a reason, because they wanted you to have like a lot of fun and like think about all the epic times that you can have with your bros.
Yeah.
Eating a big steak and then the spiciest food ever to give you some sort of new scientifically advanced macho-ria. That would be something that we could write about in medical journals.
Bros always carry Tums for their bros with soft tummies.
I want to circle back to try to make every day epic, because there's a bit I didn't read, which is don't go on dates. Go on adventures. Dinner and a movie? Wow. That's for regular dudes. Take the cutie from Econ whitewater rafting, or ask the hot barista at your favorite coffee shop to go to a metal concert tonight. Take your semi-serious date to the racquetball court and see what you're made of. What does that mean?
Hey, never ask anyone out and tell them that it's a semi-serious date. They will leave.
Serious. Don't get weird.
Don't get weird.
You can tell them it's a semi-charmed kind of date.
It's 15 love.
But that's
love.
A different thing.
15 love. I love you. What?
What?
Nothing. Hey, lift up this. You want to see me pick up a heavy thing?
I do.
Let's see that big guy over there. I'm going to pick him up. I'll pick up this bench. Oh, man. That's all. I don't want to read any more of this. But it is helpful, I think, if you do want to live this life. You know, don't hurt anyone.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Griffin.
If you want to live this bro life and you want to be like, you know, pinnacle human Ryan Lochte, then this is your chance to do that. If you want to kick it in a room with Dan Cook, Jim Belushi, and Joe Rogan, and what are they talking about in there?
They're talking about woke culture.
Probably. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest.
Fucking beat.
It's Jim Belushi. Here's what the conversation is. Jim Belushi's like, hey guys, have I been canceled? I feel like I should have been by now. I've got that vibe, but like, I don't know if I actually have been or not. Help.
Okay, wait, hold on. So I just want to talk about Joe Rogan, Jim Belushi, and Jane Cook for a second. Who do you think? No, I have to know. Who is the connecting person there?
Right.
What's the friend that they all know?
Right. You can't tell me they all know each other equally, right? Is it Dane Cook?
A better friend.
Like, Dane Cook is friends with both of them? Or is it Joe Rogan that's friends with both of them? It's got to be that, right?
Actually, you know what it was? They were all in that 12 Angry Men remake.
Oh, right.
12 Furious Bros.
12 Furious Bros. Yeah. God, Jim Belushi was so fucking funny in that movie. Do you remember when he stabbed he was like, there's no chance anyone else would have that knife. And then he stabbed the knife down, but it went into Dan Cook's hand. And he was like, shit.
Fucking challenging.
Challenging stuff.
You know what I think is the most challenging comedy?
Trap? What?
When you say the same shit people have been saying for the last 20 years? Fucking challenging.
It's hard when you do that. Because you have to say it in like a silly voice.
Right?
It's hard to it's really hard to come up with those. And also, we should be careful about criticizing people for making the same jokes over and over again. Because we've been doing this show for about 50 years.
Yeah, but we make the same stupid
It's over. Different. Let's go
we
to
stop
the...
making mean jokes, or we try to. Now the only people we're mean to is old straight.
Well, every joke has a victim, Travis.
Yeah, I guess that's true. You know, now that you say it, Griffin, I think it's time to go to the money zone.
Yeah.
Is that a
big summer plans? You going to travel to like Italy or France or maybe?
Yeah, I was thinking about doing a sort of Italy, France, Germany, Spain, the whole circuit.
Just getting the big four?
The big four, as we call them.
Well, Griffin, it's probably a little too late now, but you should start working on Babbel to learn all four of those languages in time for your summer trip.
Oh, I know all of the languages to the countries.
You do? Did you use Babbel to do it?
I did, yeah. I learned Italian, and I learned all of them, yeah.
Yeah? Well, yeah. It actually makes a lot of sense because it only takes 10 minutes to complete a lesson. So you can start having real life conversations in a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Mm.
Now, other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plan, and their love is real, but they are not. But Babbel lessons were created by over 150 language experts.
All in one room. The Tower of Babbel up in, and that's how they got the name.
Yeah, and they weren't allowed out till they solved it. With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Right now, save up to 60% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/mybrother. That's BABBEL.com/mybrother for up to 60% off your subscription. Babbel, language for life.
Let's give them something to click about. That's the new song Squarespace commissioned from us for $500,000. And it's, that's what we have so far. And
at first they offered $500 and we said,
as a joke. We were what about half a million? And they were like, yes. And we were like, holy shit, Squarespace.
Yeah.
But if they have that kind of money to throw around, then you know that they are like the name in making a website for your brand or business or whatever. You can make a beautiful website so easy, engage with your audience, sell anything you want, your products, content anything? That you create. A little cupcake that looks like Alf. Paintings of your neighbors. Shirts. Add online booking and scheduling to your Squarespace website. Clients can easily see your availability or reschedule if needed, taking the hassle out of coordinating calendars. You could also put a calendar up there that says you have no availability just to flex on all of the haters. You can sell your products on an online store, whether you sell physical or digital products. They got the tools you need to start selling online. And you can also make videos, pro-level videos, with the Squarespace Video Studio app. It's so easy. And it's if you do anything else to make a video, you're a numbnuts. Will you please check out squarespace.com/mybrother for a free trial? For a free child, check out squarespace.com/mybrother for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code mybrother to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Hal Lublin here with breaking news on a revolutionary form of entertainment, professional wrestling. For more, we go to our correspondent, Danielle Radford.
Professional wrestling is the craze that's sweeping the nation, featuring fisticuffs and colorful costumes.
But who can help us make sense of this world of body slams? Lindsay Kelk has the answer.
Sources tell us of an amazing podcast called Tights and Fights, filled with discussions of the absurdity of professional wrestling, plus all the sincerity and hilarity that you could shake a stick at.
Listen to the Tights and Fights podcast every week.
Find it on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
And your old-timey radio.
Hey there, I'm Ellen Weatherford.
And I'm Christian Weatherford.
And we've got big feelings about animals that we just gotta share.
On Just the Zoo of Us, your new favorite animal review podcast, we're here to critically evaluate how each animal excels and how it doesn't, rating them out of 10 on their effectiveness, ingenuity, and aesthetics.
Guest experts give you their takes informed by actual, real-life experiences studying and working with very cool animals like sharks, cheetahs, and sea turtles.
It's a field trip to the zoo for your ears.
So if you or your kids have ever wondered if a pigeon can count, why sloths move so slow, or how a spider sees the world, find out with us every Wednesday on Just the Zoo of Us in its natural habitat on MaximumFun.org.
Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Mr. Question Man. Question Man, question.
Yeah, I'd love to ask you a question, Travis.
That's not what I said.
Fuck, you make this so hard.
It doesn't have to be this hard, Travis.
I said, question me a question.
Whip him up a question right now.
You make this so hard.
Loving me? Or like the show in general? Where are we at? Are you the victim? Wait, the whole time has Justin been the victim?
That's
that
it.
Actually makes perfect sense. Hey, brother, so I met this girl that I think is pretty cool.
All right.
And well, yeah. Yeah, bro.
Yeah, pretty cool, huh?
Pretty, yeah, I get it.
What's her sense of humor like?
I mean, she's rich. Yeah. When talking to her one day, you heard me, when I showed her this cute frog picture I saw from Instagram. Now, I love frogs like every other guy, but now that's the weirdest sexism I've ever heard in my entire life.
Like every other guy.
Like every dude, I love frogs. Now, whenever I talk to her, she only ever sends posts of frogs. I'm not like super obsessed with frogs. So how do I get out of this frog purgatory so I can move on from this frog talk? Thanks, brothers. And that's from Frog Friend Frenzy.
You can start throwing some toads in there.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then like a salamander.
Yeah, walk it out to other sort of amphibians. Is a salamander amphibian?
Wait, what's the one that has like amphibian. The frilly neck frill?
He's a straight up amphibian.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Axolotl, I think, is another one that's amphib.
Yeah.
That's a phibby.
They love water. Juice, you got any fun frog facts?
I don't know. You don't have any frog facts, but I do want to say the problem is you got to open up a bit.
Yeah.
This is the only thing this person knows about
you. There it is.
It's your frog thing. You got to let them know some other things about you that you care more about.
And here's the good news. It seems like she's invested in you in one way or another, right? She likes talking to you. She was like, this person likes frogs. I'm going to show them frogs.
Everybody's had that experience of you have a new relationship you're trying to foment, and the fertilizer that you've chosen for it is like the one you just find one little bit of common ground, and you're like, this is actually you have also seen like all of Oz, and you're like I have to make that my entire life right now for the rest of this conversation. Like all I care about is Oz. Or else I'm not getting out of this conversation alive. Like that kind of vibe. And you've just done that with frog. It's fine.
It's so fun the way that you see human interactions, Justin. It's so great.
Really? How do you mean, Trav? Go on, please.
The idea of getting out of a conversation alive, it's wonderful.
Juicy, you ever died from a conversation?
No, because I'm a fucking professional.
Because he's constantly got his head on a swivel.
Exactly. Because I keep my shit. I keep my fucking powder dry and my shit tight.
Yeah.
He's got one finger over the eject button at all times.
Yeah, I don't go into a conversation without an exfil plan, right? Like, of course, it's fine. I had a conversation. There was a very nice gentleman that we met at the casino as we were, or sorry, I guess it's a resort. You know, after the show, there's a guy who's like, The weirdest thing about the show is that it's in a self-contained location, so there's signs of us, like pictures of us, big ones.
While you're all like eating lunch or like going to the store,
they put up one of me in the bathroom.
They're posters, like our posters. And this fella behind us in line to get coffee is like, "Hey, you guys are the brothers," and we're like, "Yeah, that's us." He's like, "I didn't go to the show, but I thought about it." I was like, "Okay. What kind of show is it?" We're like, "It's kind of a bad advice show." And he was like, "Oh, okay." And then like 3 minutes pass, and he came back to us and he was like, "I'm sorry. Can you just give me an example of the kind of question that you answer?"
My heart is
racing right now.
I know, right? Travis stepped in, and Travis does not have my sort of like hang up. So he's able to just actually talk to people. But he goes in a little hot sometimes, and he said, "Well, like last night we had one where a person's partner was drinking too much milk."
Uh-huh.
And he's like, "Okay."
Oh, see, Justin, let me tell you what I was thinking in that moment when that was my answer. This person wants an excuse to not listen to our show, right? Like, if he was really interested.
We are all of us looking for excuses to not listen to a podcast.
Right. The name of the show is literally plastered all over the place, right?
Yeah.
So he wanted to be like, do I care enough about it? So I was like, I'm going to give you the lowest bar I can think of. We had a question about milk. And if you're like, okay, that was all I needed to bump me off of it, you're welcome. Also, I was very sleepy and I didn't want to talk anymore. So I thought someone asked us about milk was a good, like, we can all agree.
Well, that's that sounds terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want a munch.
Squad.
I want a munch.
Squad.
Ooh, I like that.
I want to munch, munch, munch. I want to munch, 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 munch.
Squad.
Oh, thanks, okay. Guys.
Justin, you can't think we're going with you on that.
That's my Beach Boys, because it's the summertime, and we got a lot of summer menu offerings. No, like, slam dunk huge announcements, but I do just want to tell you guys what's going on out there.
Please.
This isn't funny. But okay. Dunkin' is bringing back the stuffed everything bagel minis.
Oh, I do love those. Yeah, I fucking love those.
They're good.
That's just a PSA.
I just want you to know that it's good. Okay. We also got brown sugar cream cold brew. It's good.
Hey, Justin. Are there just episodes of Munch Squad where you're actually, and you can tell me, because I'm your brother, are you being paid by Dunkin'? Justin, you being paid by Dunkin'?
I'm just saying it's good. I'm letting you know it's good.
Uh-huh. But Justin.
Real quick check-in.
Did they send you like a t-shirt or?
I want to talk about BK real quick. I'm pivoting. BK, this is beginning June 27th. So this should time out actually pretty good. This is hot news for you, the listener. They got some new offerings for the summer. There's current, they got the, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
The Southwest Bacon Whopper Jr. It features a flame grilled beef patty with avocado spread, crispy bacon, seasoned tortilla strips, American cheese, lettuce, sliced white onions, juicy tomatoes, and creamy spicy sauce on a toasted sesame seed bun. Now that sounds like, oh, good offering. You know, that's like those flavors seem on trend, you know, as much as on trend.
Well, yeah, so adding Southwest stuff to food.
Fast really food hot right
fucking
now.
Fucking love that. Yeah. If you live in like New Mexico and they're like, it's a Southwest burger, do you think New Mexico is like, again? Give me like a Northeast burger. I want a burger with oysters on it.
Now, here's the one that's a little bit weirder. The Impossible Southwest Bacon Burger. That features an impossible flame grilled impossible patty made from plants with avocado spread, seasoned tortilla strips, American cheese, crispy bacon.
Huh.
Hey, guys.
Huh. A weird kickflip.
Hey, guys.
Huh.
Hey, you guys doing? Hey, guys. You know what that's for, right?
You know what the bacon is, right?
You know what the bacon is.
No, it's from bacon. What do you mean?
No. We did a good job. It's bacon.
It's just like, bacon.
Yeah.
It tastes so good.
And it's not like beef. No, you're right there. It's not beef, but you can all see. Oh, man.
I just thought that was amazing that they're like, yeah, we got it. You know what they call it? That's for people who are looking for flexitarian options.
Oh, okay. So that's not omnivores?
Anything. Yeah.
People omnivores. Who are just want to eat whatever kind of hose in their field of view. So that's a summer offering. They got a vegetarian bacon over at BK. So everybody's just trying stuff. Speaking of just trying stuff, White Castle is welcoming the summer with chicken rings.
Sorry, Juice, you misspoke.
So, chicken rings. The crispy, uniquely shaped chicken rings are made with all white meat chicken, and they're sure to leave cravers satisfied while not taking a big bite out of their wallets. If you find yourself craving chicken rings, you should seek help.
And don't bite your wallet.
No.
Here's Jamie.
I mean, unless you're like setting a bone in like a wilderness scenario. and you need to bite down on something, then I, like, you've dislocated a shoulder while running away from, like, the predator, bite down on your wallet so you don't, like, swallow your tongue. I could see important. That.
Jamie Richardson, vice president at White Castle, seems to have conflated the restaurant with some sort of eldritch text. Let's check in with Jamie. A hot and tasty meal at an appetizing price is how we feed the souls of craver generations everywhere.
Jesus Christ.
Craver generations?
The craver generation. The souls of craver generations. The chicken rings are delicious and fun to eat and will help cravers enjoy a hot summer treat while not breaking the bank. Can you imagine a world where they made chicken rings, but they were expensive? Why would you do that?
Hey, it's me, Jamie, from White Castle. So these chicken rings, each ring, individual ring, does cost $20. But the reason is we realized it was easier to simply genetically modify chickens to grow in kind of a slinky shape.
A tubular shape.
And that science cost a lot, guys. And, you know, and nowhere do we stop to think if we should. And that one's on us. But you're going to love these hollow chicken parts.
It's fun.
White Castle is going off. This is still Jamie, who's like, they were out of the office. And Jamie's like, wait, I thought of something else to say.
Come back.
White Castle is going all out this summer to deliver quality meals at a great price point. The pairing of three favorites, chicken rings, bacon, and Hidden Valley Original Ranch.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, dude.
Is a tasty treat that will satisfy cravings throughout the season. That's right. They're putting the chicken rings on tiny sandwiches.
Yeah, dude.
Because they're White Castle and they fuck. I was going to say they don't fuck around, but they only fuck around.
Here at White Castle, we believe that fast food can't exist without a victim. So welcome. The job of fast food is to offend.
Fast food cannot exist without a victim. Hey, get there and get these offerings. You've earned it. And hey, speaking of other things you've earned this show listening to it, by trading us the time for it. And we thank you so much for that, for being here and enjoying the show with us and having some fun and laughs and never punching up or down, just punching wildly around.
Sometimes like we don't even punch. Sometimes we're just feeling like that little boy from Secret Garden that like lays in the bed all the time. And we're like, Papa, bring me some tea. I don't feel like punching today.
That's a sweet, sweet thought. I do think if we tried pretty hard, we could like enumerate a list of people we did punch at today. Beginning with Bean himself. But also, I believe some things were said about Dan Cook's character that he would not enjoy so much. Who else? Who else really got? Who else did we really fucking razz this time?
We gave that nice boy Ricky Gervais a hard time.
Thank you to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. Great times, great oldies. It's a new it is a new song. And thanks to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. Go to MaximumFun.org, you goof. Check out all the great shows they have on there.
Pre-orders. Pre-orders are open for the Taz 11th Hour graphic novel. You can go to theadventurezonecomic.com to pre-order now. That comes out February 21st. And like we mentioned earlier, we got stops coming up for the 20 Rendezvous Fancy Takes Flight Tour. You can get all those tickets at bit.ly/McElroy Tours. Our next stops are Salt Lake City, Portland, then San Diego, and then the next tour after that is Washington, D.C., Detroit, and Cincinnati. Mask and proof of full vaccination or negative COVID test within 72 hours of event start is required. Get those tickets at bit.ly/McElroy Tours. You've only got a few days left to grab, the merch. I mean, it will still be there, the merch at the merch store, but you only have a few days left for 10% of all merch proceeds to go to Fairness WV, which is a statewide civil rights advocacy organization dedicated to fair treatment and civil rights for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender West Virginians. All of that at macroymerch.com.
Hey, quick programming note. We talked about it on Wonderful This Week, but Rachel and I are going to be moving at the end of July to Washington, D.C. Yeah, we're moving on up to D.C.
But I just bought a house in Austin.
Well, good news for you. You can sell it for $1 billion.
Yay.
I only mention that because we're probably going to be running a couple of live shows in a row toward the end of July to sort of cover us as we
relocate cross country. But yeah, just quick programming note for you. And now you're in. Now you're a part of it. The moment. The movement.
The Griff and McElroy ARG.
Yeah.
Griff, I would love to hear your
I started this episode doing really Rowan Atkinson for about 15 minutes. So can I get a pack? Can I get
a pack? You want to get me one? I'll do one.
Yeah, Trav. Can you do Dax
Shepard is Dax stung Shepard. by a bunch of bees.
Yeah, Dax Shepard in Man vs. Bee.
Okay. Oh man, I hate this bee. Oh god. Oh, my eyeball. Oh god, everything's flashing before me.
Nah, that was a mistake. It was a mistake.
Yeah, okay, give me a different one. Give me a different one.
Nah, I got nothing
for you, bud. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.